light the fire. You place the flowers in the vase that you bought today. Staring at the fire for hours and hours.
Hello and welcome to Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's Real Estate Talk Show, where we take on, talk about, and interview guests on all things real estate, with a direct focus on Northumberland County and all the communities within it. I'm Dale Bryant, and I'm a local real estate broker here in Northumberland County, and my co-host is Certified Home Inspector Dave Smith. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Dale.
So, Dave, we're in a season. We're a couple days away from December. We're in a season where at least I see my business slowing down a bit, a little bit of time for things that have been building up on a list.
Time for reflection.
Time for, yeah, I guess maybe even reflection. How about yourself?
Well, actually, it's been pretty good. Last November, I was very, very busy, but I just launched my business, and December was pretty busy as well. But I'm now rolling into more of a routine. So September, October, November have all been slower than the summer months, but certainly busy enough for training and upgrading and plans for the spring. So it's just a shifting of priorities is what it is.
Yeah, we have the sort of businesses where both on pay you get paid when you do work. I'm on commission, so it's funny because while I'm busy, 7 days a week and long hours, I look forward to times like this. And then as soon as I get a time like this, I get a little bit frightened. I say, when's the phone going to ring again?
I like the use of the word funny in there, because it's funny maybe in November. It's not funny in January, February. It loses its humor then. But yeah, it's a great opportunity. You've got to upgrade. You're constantly upgrading your business, which is you.
Absolutely.
And I'm in the same boat. So it is a great opportunity, and I'm excited about the opportunities that sort of training and education will give you.
Mm-hmm. Today, Dave, we have a great show lined up for the folks in Northumberland County. We have a couple guests today. One of our guests is Grant Harnden. Grant is a general manager and an estimator for Winmar Property Restoration Specialists. And we're going to talk to Grant a little bit on mold in homes this morning. And we also have a real estate broker from Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty, Tracy Northam, coming to talk to us about communities and lifestyles around the Rice Lake area. And considerations that people need to be aware of when purchasing rural and cottage real estate. We'll also cover our regular information on home inspection tip of the week, today's real estate market in Northumberland County, and Reality Realty's Did You Know segment. So, Dave, how about our home inspection tip of the week?
Well, I worked hard on this one. I'm trying to relate it back to I'm sort of ticking off my checkbox of challenges when you're doing a home inspection and to a degree head shakers when this is the time to market your home. This is it. This is your big moment in the sun. So, but it really goes back to basics, and this is common sense stuff. So what I'm going to focus on is checking all your windows and doors in your home in preparation for the home inspection. You want to make sure all those windows open easily, all the hardware is in place and in good order. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, at this time of the year, make sure they close after you open them. Because, you know, the home inspector it's a non-invasive inspection. The goal here is that he or she leaves everything as it was when they came into the home. And sometimes a window will open and it won't close. So make sure that they close, cleaning the tracks on those sliding windows, keeping mm-hmm. the dirt out of them. It makes them look better. Again, it looks like you're maintaining your home properly. Doors are no different. You want to make sure that your deadbolts and your knob sets, make sure they're all aligned properly for proper use, okay? Locking plates, and this is the latch plate that you'll see on the edge of the door that gives you the security, and the door latch or the deadbolt goes into. You want to make sure that all the screws are tight There's no scrape marks, which, you know, it's just aesthetic, but it's not banged up. You can touch them up or you can replace them. Those plates are available at any hardware store. They're very inexpensive. They give you that fresh look. And when somebody puts their hand on a doorknob and they're going to open or close it, their eyes it comes right into their field of vision. So you want to make sure your house looks as good as possible. Anything that does not function as expected or is badly scratched, tired, or worn, maybe replace it. You know, they're not expensive as a rule. They're an easy install for the most part. If you're not confident, get someone who can. We've talked about the jewelry of the home. Well, door sets, anything shiny is jewelry in a home, just like your jewelry that you wear. But consider replacing them. This is the time to make your house look as good as it can be. And here's something that all home inspectors will appreciate. If there's a problem in the home, and this extends to things beyond the hardware I'm talking about now, but if there's a repair necessary, you know something is broken in the home, leave a note attached telling the inspector. Maybe even put a sticky note or put a piece of paper, something right on the window, the door, whatever. This door doesn't function. A replacement bin has been ordered, this sort of thing. It just shows that you've been right on task when it came to getting the house ready. And it also protects anyone from possibly injury, but certainly makes it for the awkward moment when somebody can't get something back the way it was in a home inspection. So finally, now's the time to repair or replace any defects with your home. When it comes to home inspection, I've said it before, be proactive.
Dave, and these are great tips when you're about to sell your home, you're getting your home ready for a home inspection. But for people that aren't in a position where they're about to sell, these are great tips to listen to every week. And it might be your to-do list for the day or the week. And go around, and it won't take very long before there's a noticeable difference in the maintenance of your home if you were to follow these tips of the week on a weekly basis. And so, Dave, right now, let's look at today's real estate market in Northumberland County. And as every week, we're looking at the residential market here in Northumberland County, residential including single-family dwellings, condominiums, recreational properties, and vacant lots. And these statistics and the information that I use required to calculate things like absorption rates come to us from the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors. First on our list, Dave, we got listings that have sold over the past month. Over the past month here, through the Northumberland Hills Board, there's been 67 listings sold. And we're seeing a small decline. The week before, we had 81. Week before that, we had 89. I really believe it's a reflection of us coming into the end of November and holiday season. Today, listings are for sale. There are 539 residential listings on the Northumberland Board for sale. And once again, those numbers are slowly dropping. An absorption rate. Now, an absorption rate is just a ratio, a percentage of supply and demand. So we use those first two figures. And we right now have an absorption rate based on the past month's trend of 12.43%. And Dave, all that's telling us is we're in a buyer's market.
Okay.
Yeah, and nothing to be concerned about. We're in a buyer's market for the simple reason, I believe, it's the time of year. Now, the average list price of real estate that sold over the past 12 months is approximately the average listing price, of real estate over the past 12 months has been $291,000 approximately. Now, keep in mind that covers everything from expensive condos to vacant land that might only be $50,000, $60,000. Okay. On average, people are receiving about $280,000, and that gives us a percent of 96% people are receiving from their asking prices. Today's mortgage rates, they remain unchanged from last week. A 5 years fixed is still at 2.74%, and a 5 year variable is at prime minus 0.9. And the prime the lenders are using is 3% today. So 3 minus the 0.9, 5 year variable rates are at 2.1% today. And thank you to the Mortgage Wellness Group here in Northumberland County for supplying us with these rates. So, Dave, the Reality Realty Did You Know section here. Mm-hmm. I'm focusing here on floor plans, floor area rather, measuring the floor area of a home, of an office building, of an industrial building. There are standards, wouldn't you say? There must be standards to
you
measure.
You would think that would be the, you know, the guy in the streets version of it.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me something different, aren't you?
You would think, you would hope. Yeah, it's a setup, isn't it? So, yes, there are standards for measuring the floor space in a home, in an office, in an industrial building. But oddly enough, there are many standards. There's different standards, and different markets will employ different standards. And maybe even because of the confusion of multiple standards, you may find different people within a market employing different standards. Right now, for an example, a common standard in North America would be the National Association of Home Builders Standard, or maybe the American Measurement Standard, or a very well-known organization, the BOMA Standard.
Wow.
Yeah, which is a Building Owners and Managers Association. So it is a confusing thing. There needs to be clarity. And right now there's another group on the scene, and this group is called the International Property Measurement Standards Coalition, the IPMSC. And Dave, this group is made up of 57 professional and not-for-profit organizations from around the world, and they're all working together to develop and implement, hopefully, these standards for measuring property.
Okay. So when it comes to standard, is the goal here to have one standard? Is that the goal?
Yeah, and that's what they're trying to do. And I just received an email yesterday from the IPMS that they published their new standards for measuring office space. And they also hope by the end of this year, the end of 2015, they hope to have standardized residential office spaces, residential space as well.
Okay, so we're working towards that.
Yeah, hopefully it's just not going to be another standard we add to our list.
Okay, well, maybe you can keep us up to date on that. This is Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. Join Dale and myself after this short break as we talk to Grant Harnden. Going off script here for a moment, Dale, we're something near and dear to my heart. You know, Dale, it's that special time of year. And the Smith family, we have a tradition of not getting into the spirit until after November the 25th. But today's the 27th, and mold season is upon us.
Yeah, I never heard of that one, Dave.
Join Dale and myself after the short break as we talk to Grant Harnden. Grant, of course, is the general manager of Winmar Property Restoration Specialists in Port Hope. Please stay with us.
Hi, I'm David Hayes of Cedar Rail, and on behalf of my partner Wendy Bellin, we just want to tell you about our new show, It's All About the Music, which airs Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on Northumberland 89.7. The show features local entertainment as well as great musicians from the past, such as Patsy Cline and Merle Haggard. Hope you can tune in, Northumberland 89.7, Wednesday night at 7.
As a local business owner, would you pay to advertise your service in a shotgun approach to a broad market, or to an audience that is right for your business? Would you try and promote your business into another area code where there's three others doing what you do, or into your hometown where you're known as one of a kind? Northumberland 89.7 is specific and local for the people of Northumberland County. Northumberland 89.7 is unique and original, just like your business. Give us a call at 905-372-2391 or email us at sales@northumberland897.ca.
Sometimes we find it hard to ask for help, but at certain times of our lives, it's the responsible thing to do. Jim McGrath is your local source for legal advice. Estate planning, home purchasing, or legal concerns about your business, Jim McGrath provides a hands-on approach that best represents your needs. Jim has been practicing law for 30 years, and he fully understands the law, so you don't have to. Call Jim McGrath today at 905-373-1999, because you owe it to yourself and your loved ones to have a responsible professional looking after your legal needs.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk. Our first guest today is Grant Harnden. Grant is the general manager and an estimator for Winmar Property Restoration Specialists. Welcome, Grant.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me in.
Well, you're very welcome. We're happy you can join us. I hear you've been very busy lately, Grant, with the windstorms we've had and such.
Yeah, the weather's definitely promoting our business right now, for sure.
Yeah, good for some, not so good for others. Grant, can you tell us a little bit about Windmar Property Restoration Specialists, and what do you do?
Well, we specialize in insurance restoration, really. We kind of cater to the insurance market. Water damage, fire, smoke, wind is another big one, especially this past week.
Mm-hmm.
We do also do basically any sort of general contracting there is for the public outside of insurance as well. As well as today's topic, mold remediations.
I, of course, have to run across this. It's part of my responsibility as a home inspector to look for issues like mold. Where do you most often find it, and what are the typical causes of it?
Well, the most common cause is, well, all in all, we'll kind of go over a few things. Mold needs a place to grow, which is basically dark, is one of the key factors. It needs a food source, which is pretty well anything organic, and it needs moisture. So if there happens to be a leak of any sort or elevated humidity levels due to a damp basement, it needs oxygen, and it needs time. Basically, stagnant air, warm conditions, moisture, these are all the contributing factors. So,
So it's not happening overnight?
Well, it can develop within 24 to 72 hours. Under ideal conditions.
Okay. Really interesting. And Grant, health risks involved with mold, they're pretty serious, aren't they?
Yeah, they definitely can be. Every person kind of reacts to mold in a different way, and there are many, many, many different sources of irritants associated with mold. Many different species of mold as well, some much more toxic than others. The elderly, young children, anyone with kind of weakened immune systems, those are the most susceptible, but it can affect anyone.
Right, yeah. I've even heard of people passing away from mold.
Yeah, not being a doctor, I can't pinpoint it, but it definitely,
it's a contributing
definitely
factor.
It's that serious. Yeah, exactly.
So in that frame of mind, is there such thing as good mold?
Well, not really. Mold in your house is never good. Not good for your house and not good for you or your pets, children.
But I understand most homes will have some degree of mold.
Well, that's true. We're surrounded by mold spores. Out in the environment, it's basically everywhere. But when we get the right conditions, that allows mold to colonize and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
Mold, like asbestos or knob and tube in the home inspection world, they're words a buyer, a seller, a realtor don't want to hear in a real estate transaction. In saying that, we always believe it's a solution to every problem. So what are the solutions for mold?
Well, basically, if it's determined that there's a large amount, we don't do our own air quality testing, but we can view the damages and recommend, if it's serious enough, that you involve what's called an environmental hygienist. So these guys, what they basically do is they'll come in and they will do the air sampling, determine just how concentrated the mold is, and if it is serious, they'll provide a protocol basically recommending how we are to remediate it. Hmm. They'll outline how much containment may be needed and just basically the cleanup steps that me as a remediation contractor need to follow.
Right. And Grant, you mentioned remediation. So we're calling it mold remediation versus mold removal.
Mm-hmm.
What would the difference be? Why remediation?
Well, basically, if you just go in and remove the mold, it will spread. The spores are microscopic, so as you disturb it, it'll become airborne and further contaminate the house. So basically, the remediation encompasses containing the area. In some situations, we need to use negative air, which is where we'll encapsulate the area and use a basically a large blower with a very, very fine called a HEPA filter on it to create a negative pressure in that environment to prevent the spread of the spores to other portions of the house.
Right. So you'll create that negative air in the room you're working in only.
Right.
As opposed to if you had a whole house of mold.
Well, at that point, you know, if it's absolutely everywhere and we have that all documented by the environmental hygienist, then we would still be using negative air just to basically filter the air that's within the house. But normally we can segregate the affected area and contain it and introduce the negative air.
And everybody wearing their personal protective equipment and
absolutely
being very safe.
Yep.
So this isn't something for a family to be embarrassed about or an owner to be embarrassed about. The what you're saying is basically the mold spores are in the air, in all the air, microscopic. They can't be seen. It's not part of a dirty house or an unkept house. What are the steps, you know, the costs, the time to remediate a house of mold? I realize there's lots of variables, but in a standard house with maybe they have a patch of about 8x8 up in the attic, say, by example, what would be?
Well, it's
not a
pretty loaded question. Typically, when you detect mold and you can visually see it, you're seeing the tip of the iceberg.
Okay.
So
okay.
At that point, I would insist if I was going to remain involved that we would have to bring in an environmental hygienist at that point.
Okay.
And to get their pre-testing, that's testing of the contaminated area, them to outline a protocol, and post-clearance testing, which is very important. They'll basically ensure that I've done a good job and say, yeah, we've gotten everything in this area. Their costs can range anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 just for their consulting and their air sampling.
Wow, so it's no cheap venture to get into, but a necessary venture to get into.
Yeah, exactly. If it's just a tiny area, there's certain situations where we can just localize, contain it, and remove it. But if it's any larger than roughly a sheet of plywood, basically 4x8, then we would want the involvement of an environmental hygienist.
But it's your family's air. I mean, real estate transaction aside, it's your family's air that you're breathing, so you do want to be, proactive.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
And Grant, when you've done the work, and say there's a substantial amount of work to be done, you've done the work, and you call in the environmental hygienist because it was substantial, just to verify, validate that it's all been taken care of. Is there some sort of certificate that can show a future, well, show the present homeowner or a future homeowner that the home is now safe to live in?
Yeah, the general procedure for that environmental hygienist would be to provide the homeowner, which the environmental hygienist would be working for directly.
Mm-hmm.
They would provide him with a full written report and the results of the post-clearance testing as well.
One of my mantras is water is the enemy of homes. Water on the outside trying to get in, water on the inside that isn't being contained properly, water you create through day-to-day breathing, et cetera, humidity, et cetera, trapped inside. What are the prevention? Do you have any advice on prevention for those that are out there that want to make sure this doesn't become a big problem for them? Do you have any tips on prevention of mold growth?
Well, again, just maintaining that dry environment. Be proactive. Walk around your house. Be observant. Kind of get a routine where every once in a while, weekly, monthly, you do a visual inspection of all those areas that kind of go overlooked. Pay real close attention to your roof, any plumbing. If you have any sort of leakage at all, like a dish under a slow leak in a drain is not a solution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Grant, you mentioned something about the mold needs darkness. Could it be if you had some sort of crawl space or little basement corner that it's something as simple as keeping on a low wattage light bulb could help slow down mold?
Well, it's UV light that actually...
Okay.
Kill it. Yeah. So daylight, okay. That's where you really see mold growth more typically in attic spaces and in crawl spaces. So
Now, in saying that, with lighting, at least with proper lighting in a crawl space or any dark area, having lighting gives you an ability to inspect those areas.
Exactly, yeah. At least it won't go undetected that way.
Absolutely. Well, Grant, we really appreciate you being here and enlightening us.
Good one. Yeah, segue.
on some of the aspects of what you do, just a part of what you do at Winmar. And how can our listeners contact you to learn more about Winmar and the services you provide?
Well, you can visit our website at www.winmarporthope.com. Or you can give us a call. Our office phone number is 905-885-1118. And we're on 64 Cavan Street in Port Hope.
Well, thank you very much, Grant. And as Dave mentioned just a while ago, it might be very interesting to get you on again and cover some other aspect of what you do at Winmar. And this is Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 Truly Local Radio. Join Dave and myself after this short break as we talk to local real estate broker Tracy Northam about real estate in Northumberland County and in particular real estate in the Rice Lake area.
For over 25 years, Pritchard's Climate Care has been your personal climate expert in the Northumberland area. Pritchard's offers complete heating and air conditioning service and repair for your home or business. We make sure the air you breathe is healthy and comfortable. Pritchard's Climate Care has become one of Southern Ontario's most trusted installers of heating and air conditioning products. Sign up for our We Care maintenance plans and get your furnace service for half off our regular service price. Pritchard's Climate Care, we're not just your climate experts, we're your neighbors. Call us at 905-885-8216 or toll free at 1-877-791-6975.
Check engine. Oh, man.
Don't worry, I'm here for you.
Oh, good. Wait, who are you?
I'm the Midas Touch, and you need what I've got.
Really?
Visit Midas, and I'll look after your engine. I can also service your brakes, rotate your tires, change the oil, everything you need, and nothing you don't.
Like, right now?
Yes, now. I literally have nothing better to do.
Visit Midas at 6 Strathy Road in Coburg for a $24 oil change, and we'll check your car's vitals for free on most vehicles. For details, call Midas at 905-372-1959.
Trust the Midas Touch.
Old Time Radio has a new home. Classic radio dramas, suspense, and comedies. Sunday evenings, 9 until midnight, here on Northumberland 89.7. You
can't hear yourself. Welcome back. This is Dave Smith and Dale Bryan on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk. Well, in our last segment, we spoke with Grant Harnden, general manager and estimator for Winmar Property Restoration Specialists. And we're going to change gears a little bit here and look at real estate, and in particular, real estate in Rice Lake community. For this segment, we're pleased to introduce Tracy Northam. Tracy's a real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage and is a member of the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors and the Toronto Real Estate Board. Tracy is a trusted realtor who works through Northumberland County and has sought after knowledge and experience in real estate and the communities within the Rice Lake area. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you, Dave.
Hello, Tracy. And yes, I just want to add to that, I have certainly went to Tracy for advice in the Rice Lake area, and she's always very, very willing to give me great advice and very happy to do it.
Thanks, Dale.
You're welcome. So, Tracy, as a full-time resident and cottager on Rice Lake, can you tell us a bit about the lake in general?
Sure, absolutely. Rice Lake is a lake that's located in southeastern Ontario, and it falls in Northumberland County and Peterborough County, only about an hour and a half from Toronto. The lake itself is part of the Torrent Severn Waterway. It flows into the lake by the Otonabee and out via the Torrent. It's about 32 kilometers long and about 5 kilometers wide. The lake is fairly shallow. It was named for the wild rice that grew in it and was harvested by native people in the area. Most of the extensive stands of Rice Lake originally found in the lake were wiped out when the water level were raised in the lake during the construction. The village of Bewdley is on the west end of the lake, and the town of Hastings sits on the east. There's many small communities within the area: Roseneath, Baileyboro, Gore's Landing, and Harwood. The Rice Lake, it's an attractive tourist area, but it's most famous for its fish. Rice Lake is said to be the lake with the most fish in Ontario. And you can catch panfish, walleye, muskie, bass, which are all found in the Rice Lake waters.
The most fish. I wonder if, I don't know, my dad and I think we've been to Rice Lake, and I beg to differ about most fish.
Maybe it was just a fisherman.
Yeah, those were some slow days.
But my husband always gets jealous, because whenever we go fishing, I'm the one that catches all the fish, and he ends up taking them off of the rod.
We show him up.
Well, I mean, I grew up just south. I was on Highway 28, just where Rice Lake Drive actually severs off of what I call the new 28, and that's kind of dating me because it was actually cut through about 35 years ago. So, I know about the Beaudelet area. I know about Rice Lake because we were on the path to it. What are some of the activities or events in the area that residents and visitors can expect to enjoy on the Rice Lake area?
There's a lot of great activities on Rice Lake in addition to fishing and swimming and boating. There's the fishing tournaments that are held down in Beaudelet. There's hiking in the Northumberland Forest, horseback riding. There's the trails for skiing or if you're into snowmobiling and four-wheeling. We have some great golf courses in the area, skating and ice fishing on Rice Lake now.
That's right. Yeah.
We have some the First Nation powwows. There's antique car shows, waterfront festivals. The great poker run on Rice Lake is always a lot of fun, and we normally go into that every summer. There's fall fairs, the regatta, pumpkin festivals, auctions. There's just a lot of things to do in the area.
I like some of those summertime ones you're mentioning, but I think my activities when it gets cold out is staying warm inside with a nice warm drink.
Well, you are an adventurous one, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess that's the guy I am. You know?
Not the outdoorsy type.
No, not even close. So Tracy, if someone was thinking about buying a cottage, what are some of the steps they should take before getting started?
Well, the first thing I always recommend to potential buyers is to have their financing pre-approved. Find out how much you can afford. Look at different financing options that are available to you when you're purchasing a cottage. Are you going to be paying cash or are you going to re-mortgage an existing home? Another important thing to do is to decide what location you want. Where do you want it to be? How far do you want to commute to your cottage on the weekends? And always have your wish list, your uses. How are you going to use the space? How many numbers of bedrooms do you need? Do you want the cottage to be more for boating and swimming and fishing? Is there anybody in your family who has accessibility or mobility issues? Is it going to be a three-season or a four-season place to escape to? Is it on a private road, municipal road? You're looking for stairs or access to the lake. Another thing you might want to look at is the outdoor space for entertaining, because we tend to do that in our cottages. Do you want privacy? Do you want your neighbors to be close by or a little bit further away?
Yeah, you really don't want to be all shut up inside your cottage if that's what you're doing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Outdoor space should be very important.
Another thing to look at is, do you want the cottage to be on the water? Some people prefer to have a back lot or something that's more wooded, or maybe something with just deeded access. Or you could have a cottage on an island, which provides usually a little bit more privacy. Then after you've done all of that homework, the next thing to do would be to find a local real estate agent who knows the area, someone that you can trust, and somebody that you can get along with. If you don't know anybody in the area, perhaps ask for a referral. Once you've done that, you can start shopping.
So I've been doing a little checklist here of what Tracy's just said, and then listening to what Dale said before that, we need for Dale's checklist would be 2 months only, on an island, because he doesn't want anybody bugging him, and something with access, because at your age, Dale, let's face it, you want to be able to move around that place in that July and August time, and then the other 10 months, it's all over, right?
Yeah, thank you, Dave.
Okay, so I see the prices of houses, or sorry, cottages. I've done quite a few inspections this summer, and the prices are comparable to some homes that you'll find in the Northumberland County. You're the expert. Are there ways of me getting a better deal if I'm a buyer on cottage properties? Are there some tips you can give our listeners to maybe shave a few thousand off those prices?
Yeah, if you're on a limited budget, what would you do?
Absolutely. There's things that you can do to find a cottage that might be more in your price range. For the Rice Lake area specifically, this isn't the case in all areas, but for Rice Lake, typically if you're looking at a cottage that's located on an island, you will find that to be cheaper. You could look for a cottage that's either on a river or a canal with lake access or a back lot with deeded access instead of being right directly on the water. If you're handy, you could choose a handyman special or something that needs work and do the work yourself. And although there's not a lot of vacant land on Rice Lake specifically left, if you are able to find a piece of vacant land, you could build yourself your own cottage if you're handy and can do most of the work yourself. Or another option is to look at a cottage that is on leased land. And there currently are a few cottages on Rice Lake right now where you own the building, but you don't own the land, and that helps to keep the price down. And then another one to look at, and again, there's not a lot of these available, but you could look for a cottage that is off the grid, so having no hydro.
Off the grid.
You should have seen Dale's face there.
I just got shivers.
Well, my cottage is off the grid, and actually, I find it very relaxing.
Is it available in July and August? Because Dale might be interested.
I don't think Dale would survive the weekend.
No, no.
Evidently not.
No, I just can't even picture. Anyways, I know some people really like that sort of thing because it's more like camping, right?
It is.
It's getting...
With four walls.
Becoming one with nature, and I appreciate it. And I appreciate that other people appreciate it. Absolutely. So what are some of the things, Tracy, that people should take into consideration or pay special attention to when purchasing a cottage?
Well, there's just a few things that you want to sort of look at that may not come into the equation when you're buying a typical family home. So when you're buying a cottage, some of the things that you need to sort of remember is the road a private road or is it municipally maintained? Sometimes private roads, especially in the Rice Lake area, the road dues per year could be between $50 and $200. Some of those roads will provide you with winter access and some not. So depending again on your use, what you're going to use the cottage space for, you may want to double check that. Another thing that is sometimes common is the water coming from a well or is it being pumped from the lake? Yes. Again, if it's just a cottage, it's not always a big deal if it's being pumped from the lake. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking to live there full time, that may be something that you want to look at. Is the cottage on a septic or a holding tank? Again, cottages on property or on holding tanks typically don't pose too many problems. But if you're living there full time, you might want to look at something that's more septic. And is the zoning seasonal or is it residential? Is there garbage pickup or mail delivery? Sometimes you'll find in cottages that the electrical amps are 60 amps versus the recommended 100 or 200 amp. If the property has a dock or a boathouse, have proper permits been obtained through the Ministry of Natural Resources? And you can always check that through the township.
Well, it seems like a whole lot more, Tracy, than just saying, that's just a gorgeous view. We need to buy it.
Absolutely. There's a lot of things to consider when you're purchasing a cottage property.
Tracy, once I'm ready to do an agreement of purchase and sale, what are some of the things I should include in my offer to cover some of these issues you're talking about?
Well, with all properties, I like to suggest you do a home inspection. A home inspection is really important. So at least once you've purchased the property, you know exactly what you're getting. So there may be some pitfalls that the home inspector will advise you of, but at least then you're aware of them. You'll want to request a potability test just to know if the water is drinkable or not drinkable. There's ways around that. You can certainly install UV lights, and there's different filters and stuff that can help you with that. But you would definitely want to know if the water is potable. Again, going back to looking to see if there's a septic or a holding tank. If there's a wood stove or a fireplace, you'll want to request a wood energy technical transfer certificate, which is known as a WET certificate. Is there a survey on file for the property? You'll want to make sure that you have insurance. And again, checking with the proper authorities to make sure everything is okay with the boathouse and the dock. And then putting in a condition for financing just to make sure that you can get approved for the property that you are purchasing.
Okay, well, that's, I think we're going to have to throw it a break. But when we come back, maybe we'll talk a little bit about the home inspection aspect of it, because that's got a bit of a challenge to it as well. You've been listening to Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Join Dale and myself after the short break. We're talking with Tracy Northam, local real estate broker with Royal LePage Alliance Realty.
Hometown Bingo is your community connection for fun and excitement 7 days a week. This month at Hometown Bingo,
November 29th matinee and 3:30 sessions are Christmas Cash Bingo. All regular games are increased by $100. Dual Dab games, 3 at $50 and 1 at $100. Shutter games are at $50. Mini Progressive, and Accumulator games, minimum $250. And the jackpot gives you a second chance at $500.
Hometown Bingo in Coburg, 884 Division Street, just south of Elgin on the east side. Check out their website at hometownbingo.ca. Head to the Royal Canadian Legion this month and catch these great events.
On the 14th and the 28th, ladies' lunches at 11:30 a.m. Cost is $6 per person. On the 16th, join the ladies' auxiliary upstairs at 5:30 p.m. for the roast beef dinner. Cost is $12 per person. And be entertained by Hal Allison and the club room from 1 till 5 p.m. The 18th is ladies' night, and on the 20th, a general meeting in the auditorium at 7:30 p.m. On the 23rd, ladies' auxiliary open sports tournaments with cribbage, euchre, and darts. And on the 30th, entertainment in the lounge with Carl Crow from 1 till 5 p.m.
The Royal Canadian Legion Branch 133 is located at 136 Orr Street in Coburg. Call 905-373-3331.
Drive home with Dave Glover, weekdays at 4, here on Northumberland 89.7.
For over 35 years, Northumberland Security Incorporated has been providing everything necessary for physical and electronic security. From locks, alarms, safes, access control to surveillance systems, and handicap door operators. We are virtually a one-stop personal and property security center, operating from Pickering to Peterborough to Picton and everywhere in between. Visit us at 22 King Street West in Coburg, online at northumberlandsecurity.com, or call 905-372-8951, the professional security team.
Welcome back to Reality Realty with co-hosts Dale Bryant, Dave Smith, and our guest Tracy Northam, local real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage. Before the break, we started talking to Tracy about Rice Lake area, real estate in the Rice Lake area, and we just finished talking about things that we should include in an agreement of purchase and sale when purchasing a cottage or a Rice Lake home. And Tracy, can you point out some of the potential impacts we need to be aware of when installing a dock? So many places include either a dock or a place for a dock. What do we need to know about when installing one?
You'll find most of the cottages on Rice Lake do already have a dock in place for the most part. But docks are the most common form of in-water work. Sometimes you'll see a boat lift, which is a device used to lift a boat clear out of the water. But docks do have a great potential for some harmful effects. And some of those potential impacts could include destruction of submerged cultural resources or fish spawning habitat as a result of dredging or construction activities. You could have loss of the natural shoreline and aquatic vegetation. There's erosion and other impacts caused by altering the natural water flow, blocking of sunlight needed by the aquatic plants, thus resulting in a loss of fish habitat, and associated human use on land and water, which can result in further habitat loss and disturbance of the natural shore vegetation. Docks and boat lifts are routinely approved as long as there are no significant adverse environmental or cultural resource impacts, and public safety and navigation are not compromised. Some of the policies are generally cantilevered floating docks supported on legs, posts, and pipes are recommended. Crib-style docks may also be permitted if certain circumstances warrant, such as areas of heavy wave action and large vessels. Rocks used to fill cribs, though, must be clean and free of soil, taken or imported from land, but not from the lake or river bottom or shoreline. Boat lifts can be located within or adjacent to a specified dock. Gazebos on docks are not generally permitted. Docks cannot interfere with the water flow or the currents. And as per Parks Canada, usually only one dock is allowed unless it's water access property only. So like if you had an island property.
Mm-hmm. So what about couch potatoes? You didn't mention couch potatoes. It sounds like on the Bryant property there may be some of those. Is that an issue?
Well, I didn't like the idea that you couldn't put a gazebo out there.
I know, you reacted violently.
What a great place to put a gazebo.
Wells on, and again, there are a lot of cottages, year-round homes that draw water out of the lake, but what's the difference between a dug and a drilled well?
Yeah, a lot of people get these confused. So there's dug wells, and many cottages, because they're older, are on dug wells. They are basically holes in the ground dug by shovel or backhoe, and then the well is generally lined or cased with stones, brick, tile, or other material to prevent it from collapsing. Generally, it's covered with a cap of wood, stone, or concrete. And since it's so difficult to dig beneath the ground, water table dug wells are not very deep. Typically, they're only 10 to 30 feet deep. Being so shallow, though, dug wells have the highest risk of becoming contaminated.
Mm.
The surface around the well, if it's a dug well, should be mounded so that the surface water runs away from the well and it's not allowed to pond around the outside of the well head. And ideally, the pump for your well should be inside your home or in a separate pump house rather than in the pit next to the well. Now, drilled wells are becoming more common on the newer.
Yeah, I would think so. They're easier buildings. I think they're an easier install from new.
And they penetrate about 100 to 400 feet into the bedrock. So the casing is usually metal or plastic pipe, 6 inches in diameter, that extends into the bedrock to prevent shallow groundwater from entering into the well. The casing should extend a foot or two above the ground surface. The well cap is to prevent surface water again from entering into the well. And submersible pumps on a drilled well are located near the bottom, and they're most commonly used in drilled wells versus dug wells. Now, the other kinds of wells that you will sometimes find is an artesian well. And an artesian well is a pumpless water source that uses pipe to allow underground water that is under pressure to rise to the surface. There are some of them available or in the area of Rice Lake. And bored wells, drilled and bored wells are often classified as a single type of well today because both are made with some type of augering machine. And to compensate for low water yielding, the large diameter bored wells serve as storage reservoirs to provide water during periods of high demand.
Tracy, you mentioned up to 400 feet deep for a drilled well. I'm just thinking the deepest drilled well I can remember running into was 365 feet deep. Wow. That just seemed crazy deep to me.
You didn't dig that yourself, though.
Drilled well, Dave.
You had someone drill it. You didn't do it.
No.
You don't want to have to replace that.
No, you do
that
not.
That well.
No, no. Now, we talked a bit about wells. How about the difference between a septic system, Tracy, and a holding tank? Because you're going to run into both up in the Rice Lake area, I'm sure.
Absolutely, you do, especially with cottage properties. You see a lot of both. A septic tank is used for taking in wastewater from a source, treating it, and then leaching it into the ground through mounds or a field. And they have two or more chambers typically, one which allows for the sewage to separate and the second which acts as a pumping chamber. The fluid is then leached out into a field or mound where bacteria breaks it down further. The size of a septic tank required is usually determined by the number of bedrooms in a home, not the number of people, and that's because the septic tank must be equipped to service a full household. Now, holding tanks, they merely hold sewage. It doesn't leach into the ground. The tank only has one compartment, and so it can hold a limited amount of sewage. The sewage then must be pumped by a vacuum truck and sent to a municipal treatment system. Because holding tanks do not process sewage, they need to be serviced much more frequently than septic tanks do.
So,
the honey wagon.
The honey wagon. Ouch. So what do you see? Do you see a change in things that are happening in the area? Do you see, for want of a better word, is it trends? Are there trends out there that you're starting to notice being this is your one of your specialties?
Yeah, it's funny with cottages. I know growing up, the ideal cottage was always sort of like a little cabin either in the woods or on the lake. And nowadays I'm finding the younger generation typically can't afford to purchase a cottage and own a home. But the older generation who are able to afford a cottage basically want a home on the water. So we're seeing people really get away from the typical cabin.
The two-season or three-season building, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
Is less popular. Well, Tracy, if people have more questions about real estate in the Rice Lake area, or for that matter, real estate anywhere within Northumberland County, how can they get a hold of you?
The best place to call me or contact me is through my office. You can have me paged at 905-377-8888, and our office is located in the Northumberland Mall.
We're not probably going to have time today, but maybe we can have you back and we can talk a little bit about the home inspection, or in this case, the cottage inspection. And like I said earlier, I've done quite a few inspections this summer, and there's a different mentality at the cottage. Thanks for that, because we all appreciate that mentality. From a home inspection perspective, cottage inspection, I really have to do my job the same way. So it's a bit of a fancy dance you have to do when you go out to one of these inspections, because there's an awful lot more home handyman work being done out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that are acceptable in a cottage, not necessarily acceptable in your home. A lot of sort of grandfathered things within a cottage just from the very beginning, especially when they're 60, 70 years old. So that'd be a great thing that maybe we could have you back for sometime.
I would love that.
Tracy. Well, thank you very much, Tracy.
Yes, thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
Well, Dale, we've come to the end of another show. Sitting across from you every week got me to thinking, or at least we have to liven things up a little bit, Mr. Couch. Not Couch Potato. You don't want to be known. You want to be known as Gazebo Potato, I guess, when you get a cottage. That's
Gazebo
what I'll call
sounds
it.
Nice.
I'll get
yeah.
you a shirt made or a
I'm
hat
a bit too
something.
Busy for Couch Potato, Dave.
But in this room today, in this show, we need some young blood in here so that I can feel that we've got some good young input. So we've got some great guests coming up in the next few weeks. They're great because they're vibrant young business people in our community and in our county. A couple of gentlemen that I've gotten to know are Scott Tromley from Tromley Computer Services right here in the Cobourg area, but servicing the entire of the Northumberland County area. He's a techie, as it were. He's very involved in helping out people when it comes to interfacing with computers and the systems they have. So he's going to come in and talk to us about some great developments in computers and the home.
I've used him myself, Dave. This young gentleman is absolutely brilliant.
Great. So he's kind of like a slightly younger version of me then, is what you're saying.
I didn't say anything
no,
like
didn't
that,
say
Dave.
That. Okay. Well, we're speaking about vibrance. Joel Johnston from Northumberland Security, again, right here in Coburg, but servicing a very large area. They like to advertise from Pickering to Picton and Peterborough, I think, is their mantra. But these gentlemen are going to come in, and they're either going to come in together or we're going to have them both in the next show. We've got some exciting topics on the smart home concept, automating your home using mobile devices, smartphones, tablets, this sort of thing. Great ideas to increase the safety through appliance and lighting controls in your home, increase security through automated door locks and security cameras, monitoring your home, both not only to protect you against intruders, but also to monitor the family within the home from a distance. And really, the distance nowadays is all over the world if you've got access to Wi-Fi and you have these sort of devices. So I'm really excited about that. They also give you opportunity for increased convenience through temperature adjustments, and you know, we're speaking specifically of controlled programmable thermostats, which are very exciting. And, of course, these devices all will give you an opportunity to save time and money. Above all else, it gives you peace of mind from wherever you are through your smartphone. So you're going to love these guys. On that note, Mr. Bryant, if you have any questions or comments about our show, or you'd like to suggest a future topic, please feel free to contact Dave by emailing dave@realityrealty.ca, or you can contact Dale by emailing dale@dalebryant.ca. Please join us again next Thursday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon for Reality Realty with Dave Smith, Certified Home Inspector, and Dale Bryant, Real Estate Broker, on Northumberland 89.7 FM. Until next week.